The Big Money Podcast. It's your window into outlier stocks and what really moves markets. Don't follow the news. Follow the big money. You'll hear us talk about how big money leads us to the best outlier stocks and how it impacts financial markets. Here's a look through the lens of how we see stocks, markets, and life. The Big Money Podcast.
Happy New Year. Hello.
Happy New Year, Jason. And welcome to the Big Money Podcast. It's January 7th, 2021. This is episode 10. I am Lucas Downey. I am with the esteemed Jason Bodner here. We've got a great show today.
I am joining to you. Well, I'm joining you from my backyard because it's 70 degrees down here in Florida. And if I didn't take advantage, I'd be a fool. So that is why the audio may not sound as good as usual. So I'm just giving you the heads up.
Listen, we'll take what we can get, especially in these extreme times, Jason. I mean, are you seeing extremes? What are you seeing just around the world, around the data? Do you see anything out of the ordinary?
Well, I think if we can talk about a Russell 2000 index, the small cap index that is up 5.86% in the first few days of the year, that is extreme. And it's also, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent about the final throes of the bonus round when you're clamoring for the last coins and you're getting the very last in and the clock's running out. I mean, that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Doesn't today feel like that? I mean, all the indexes are up. Let's just do a quick duck test because Luke likes the ducks. So today the Dow Jones is up 0.75%. The S&P 500 is up 1.348%. The NASDAQ's up 2.2%, and the Russell's up 1.6%. I mean, we saw crazy buying, which I know you're going to want to go into, in both stocks and ETFs. Market's been overbought for a while. I think it went overbought in December. I have the exact date here. When did it go overbought? The market went overbought December 2nd, as a matter of fact. So the market's been overbought for well over a month. We saw massive buying in stocks, massive buying in ETFs. The market's at highs. Everything's pushing higher. Forget for a moment that people stormed the Capitol for the first time since the British burned it.
Stocks don't care.
So what does it mean? Are we going to the moon forever? Are we going to have a limitless bonus round or what? What do you think?
Listen, this is all great stuff. And I think we'll touch on the markets first. I think what we'll talk about, you know, kind of like the theme and make like a timeless discussion is what to do during extreme exuberance, because that is what we are seeing. And let's go ahead and touch on markets and kind of like what we're seeing in the data, what we believe it means, et cetera. And this morning, I, as early as yesterday, I remember talking to you and I was like, wow, this is going to be a juicy day in terms of there's going to be a lot of buying. You just could see it. There was a lot of volumes. Stocks were trading at highs. A number of them were breaking out. And that's exactly what you want to see. That's what you do see in a bull market. And so this morning with our blog post, Are We There Yet? It really makes you what? Well, that's the question. Are we, right? As I, sit in the car with the kids yelling in the back, are we there yet, Dad? Are we there yet? We're certainly getting close. And when you see the level of ETF buying, the level of stock buying, all of this with extreme big money index readings, and we've been overbought, as you just pointed out, 5 weeks. you know, this is unsustainable, my friend.
Well, I think that too, but before we get into that nitty gritty, let's just back up for a second. I mean, I just want to ask the question, not are we there yet, but are you seeing what I'm seeing? Because with all this political rhetoric and back and forth and division, and it's hotly contested, and some are saying accept the results, some are saying contest the results, and all that stuff leading up to this, you know, people were worried about a market crash if Biden won. That obviously didn't happen. People were worried about a market crash if the Electoral College was contested. That didn't happen. And on a day where we had a breach of federal property on Capitol Hill with violence, armed protesters, a death. Actually, four people died yesterday. 52
four people
arrests.
Died?
Four people died.
Wow.
Three of
Any
them medical emergencies. One was a woman who got shot and ultimately succumbed to her wounds, sadly. But, I mean, you're talking about unprecedented historical context, and the market was zooming yesterday, and it's zooming today. So I think before we go into the nitty-gritty about overbought and ETFs and stocks, what I want to say is, if ever you needed illustration, which we at Map Signals try and tell people all the time, is what stocks do and what news headlines tell you they should do are totally decoupled from each other. Reality and how the news portrays it, it often has little to do with what's happening in the stock world. So why is that important? Well, here we are, we're blasting through to highs. Everybody seems to be stepping over each other's necks to buy stocks. The greed is ripe. So what's the setup here, Luke? Are we there yet? Are we at this market top? That was the subject of the blog post, but I think this is what people want to know. If we're not, how much longer do we have to go? And if we are, what do we do? You know, I don't want to lose money. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's there's a lot of ground to cover, and it was so interesting to watch what was happening at the Capitol yesterday. I remember sitting with my wife, and you know, we're just glued to the screens, and everybody else is too, I'm sure. But I started looking and I started thinking about it conceptually. Is this the low of the current administration that we've been having? I mean, you've got so much division that I thought, and I remember, you know, telling my wife, I was like, I think things are going to get better going forward. I think this is the ultimate low. And then I started thinking about it from the stock market perspective that, you know, I think when you start to see lawmakers, Jason, when they start to come across the aisle and say, you know what, enough is enough, we need to go ahead and be on the same page, that's what we needed. And I think I'm not surprised at the action today. Just looking at it today, I think there's a lot of reason to get excited. I thought the new incoming president, Biden, I thought his speech was very presidential. Forget about what you think about him or his policies. It was some fresh air. And I thought that this was going to be, you know, something to celebrate, the market celebrating it. And then to kind of pivot to your second question is, are we there yet? I think we are in the final laps of a much needed cool off period. That doesn't mean we're going to crash. That doesn't mean we're going to have anything remotely close to what
the
we
final
saw.
Final laps before a cool off period.
Yeah, before a cool off. And that's really just, you know, let stocks come in a little bit. If I had to guess, it's probably going to be in the latter part of January. It kind of is seeming like that. You got Bitcoin at all-time highs. You know, you got people who aren't even interested in stocks reaching out about stocks. So we're definitely, the setup is that we're close, Jason. And I don't think you go and sell everything today, or, you know, you got to wait for the data to show a confirmation, but if ever there were signs of exuberance, they're here, my friend.
Man, you brought up a lot of great points, and I have some things in my head. The first off is what you said when lawmakers are coming around and extending the olive branch and finally trying to at least put forth the image of working together. That's great. You know, the emotional response will be like, well, why did we have to get to this level to get to that? But just like we look at stocks, it doesn't matter. What matters is that it's happening. And that is alleviating some of the uncertainty. Wall Street hates uncertainty. Everybody hates uncertainty. We're just not wired for it, you know, evolutionarily speaking. So that is a good thing. And it does sort of give this feeling like, hey, maybe we did hit a bit of a social low and we're going to bounce from there and everybody's going to try and, you know, see each other's side and maybe work forward. Politically, yes. Biden gives a presidential speech. Mitch McConnell gave a solid speech saying, you know, let's move forward as Americans. Let's do the right thing. You had
Pence even too. Vice President Pence, I thought, really stood up and
spoke absolutely. His mind. So there are all those positive indications politically. Everybody's got a reason to cheer and buy stocks. And like you said, we're at the final laps before a cool down period. And you said perhaps late January. I just want to revisit, you know, on our Map Signals website, we put out on New Year's Eve our hangover helper recipe, if you remember. I love
that one. Yeah, that was cool.
In there, we quoted something that we wrote on December 20th. So I just want to go over it for everybody who might have missed it, listening in. We said, according to the Big Money Index, the market went overbought on December 2nd. We said the market will remain overbought until January 13th, 2021. And I just want to say all these predictions are based on the averages of analyzing overbought periods for 30 years. So this is what the data historically has said we can look forward to. So the market will remain overbought until January 13th. For all of you out there, today's January 7th. That's 6 days from now. The Big Money Index, we said, will peak Monday, December 21st, 2020, at an S&P 500 level of 3731. Now, let's just look at that real quick, because our Big Money Index actually peaked, I think the reading, if I have it correct,
right?
Was December 20th at a level of 91.7.
And I think that's I think the 20th was a Sunday, but it was one trading day. So you're off by one trading day.
Off by one trading day, and the S&P on that level, looking back, you are right. December 18th was one trading day. The S&P closed at 3709.41. Our prediction said 3731. So we were off by 1% there. Still, not bad. The next prediction said the S&P 500 will peak. This is the are we there yet question. This is Map Signals' answer. You said late January. Our prediction, our data predicts January 18th, the S&P 500 will peak at a level of 3828.50. Very
precise.
Might
get there today.
Might get there today, yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking hot. And then finally, this is the one that people will find maybe disturbing. The S&P 500 will then subsequently fall until Monday, April 19th, when it will trough at 3341.81. So that could scare some people. We're talking about a protracted sell-off according to the data. Now, those are nice predictions. They're fun to be that accurate. you and I think we both agree, right around third, fourth week of January, the market should soften. I've always said I felt like it should be about a 9% sell-off from the peak. I think you agree in there or abouts. But the important thing is we're very bullish on stocks. Year-over-year comparisons are going to continue to be great on earnings and sales. Companies are going to start making money. All these stay-at-home stocks that everybody's going and buying up in droves, they haven't made any money yet, but they probably will start to make money soon. So the outlook for stocks for 2021, from our perspective, is great. All this means is, to your point, Luke, everyone's getting greedy and high-fiving and showing each other their trading accounts and checking it multiple times per day and calculating their net worth in their head. And when that happens, that usually means the cliff is nearby, at least just to adjust and do a reset. Because like everything in life, it's like a rubber band. It eventually got to snap back a little. You got to give a little back. So dump stocks, no way. Don't be dumping stocks. If you follow MAP signals and you hold the outliers, hang on to them. But if you have cash, get your buy list ready, right?
Yeah, I think honestly, a lot of people, you know, everybody has their own way that they want to position and think about their portfolio. I think when you get to areas like this, number one, when you're long great companies like we are, I mean, this is the bonus level. You know, you don't want to jump off the big money wave. You know, this thing could keep going. That framework that you just went over, that's just what's happened in the past and using like an average expectation. We could blow that out of the water. So I think the whole point in the way I interpret the data is to say, wait a minute. Historically, the levels of buying that we're seeing right now, they're not going to last. They're not going to be sustainable. Does that mean I'm going to just dump everything? Absolutely not. It basically is saying that let's not go all in right now. We should already be all in. You should already be long. Like, you know, the time to get long was a while back. And so now you're really starting to see the fruit of those seeds being planted. And so I think with our blog post, with, you know, our narrative, it's like, listen, don't be surprised if we get a little bit of a pullback. So, you know, if you got cash on the side, like, you probably want to sit tight. And then whenever it ultimately does come, the sell-off, the correction, the pullback, whatever you want to call it, don't freak out. Be prepared. There's got to be some stocks that you missed out on that zoom to the moon. You'll probably get a better entry. And that's it.
Yeah, sorry. I was just on mute there. I just wanted to bring up in one of our other publications out there, we got someone wrote in asking, what I bet you is on everybody's minds. Hey, if the market's overbought, right? How much cash should I have in my portfolio? How much should I allocate to cash? Okay, that was the reader's question. I'm going to tell all of you what I told him. I can't give personalized advice to anyone. So all I can do is speak in general terms, and I can speak from my perspective. And basically, I talked about how the market is very overbought. And, you know, Luke and I use the big money index to guide us when markets are overbought and oversold. It allows us to be that accurate and make those crazy predictions like we just did. The crazy predictions worked out really well earlier this year. Again, one trading day off, we came out, I think I came out on an interview and I said the market's going to bottom March 20th, which was a Friday, and it actually bottomed on March 23rd, which was a Monday. So, you know, we just told you the BMI peaked one trading day before we said it was going to. But to the point here is what's interesting to look at is when that big money index peaks and starts to fall, they're getting out. Big money accounts are getting out when everybody else is still buying. That's what's happening right now, right? So what's interesting about that, we went back and we looked. Stocks are seeing huge buying. ETFs are seeing huge buying. And when we get extremely overbought conditions and stocks are getting bought left and right and ETFs are getting bought left and right, lower prices are not far off, right? So we did all these predictions. We went over this. So what everyone wants to know is, well, how much cash do I have in my portfolio? And the answer is it's very different. It depends on your objective, right? If you're a trader, maybe you want to raise cash and time the market. That's not our game. Our game is long-term growth. Build that snowball. That means we got to sit through some periods of ebb and flow. And how do you justify that? Because nobody wants to watch their portfolio go red for a few days, weeks even. But Luke, how many times have we talked about it? Running a portfolio of stocks is how we do it, is like picking the superstar athletes from every team of every sport and having them all in a portfolio. I would expect even our LeBrons, even our Gretzky's, even our Tom Brady's, they're going to hit a slump for a few games every now and then.
And that's the commentators will come out and point it out.
Yeah.
He's lost his touch. Drew Brees is washed up.
That's right. That. But if you're holding the outlier stocks, the best of the best, you will know that over the course of their career, they're going to eclipse everybody else. So you just hang on. You don't trade them. You hang on to them. So how do you combat what's likely about to happen for an eventual market pullback? How we do it on our side is we keep stockpiling cash. We save it up. And when things get so ugly that no one can bear it and everyone's uncomfortable and calling you and freaking out, we got our shopping list ready, right? And that's pretty much how we handle it.
That's right. It's basically, it's the opposite conditions that we have today. So we're not going in and, you know, putting a ton of money to work whenever the data says, don't do that. And even if the markets continue to rally and go further and further, we're still going to participate because we have great companies that we are long. You know, they're not for sale, folks. We're going to hold those, you know, hopefully till death. But I think, you know, a lot of people, they're wondering, you know, how do you manage cash and, you know, when do you sell and when do you buy? And it's really difficult, especially in extreme times like now. I mean, we are seeing data points that we've never seen before. And that's okay. We're navigating just fine. And so what, to reiterate what you've been saying, Jason, is what we do, and this is what we do. This doesn't mean it makes sense for you, is we save a little cash along the way. You know, it's just like if you're saving up money for any type of hobby, you know, if you're going to be, hey, I got to go to a big Disney trip next year. Okay, start saving now. Put a little money away each month, right? Next month, the next month, the next month, then eventually you've got a pile of money that you can go in and take your trip. It's the same thing that we're doing with stocks. So every single month, you're setting aside a little bit of money, a little bit of money. And then whenever that opportunity comes, right, where your cash wants to take that ride, you know, wants to buy into those stocks, that's how we do it. So doesn't mean it works for everybody. And you can do this at any level of money. I don't care if you got $5. You don't have to be, you know, swinging the big axe all the time.
Yeah, don't forget, you can buy partial shares on platforms. I think Fidelity offers it, several others. You can buy $5 worth of a stock. It may not change your life today, but in 30 years, it might.
And which, by the way, not to cut you off, people get hung up. Still to this day, if they can't buy 100 shares of a stock, they're not interested in it. But they'll go buy a nice little sliver of Bitcoin. I just don't understand. You know, like
Satoshi.
Yeah, whoever Satoshi was, you know, if you can buy a sliver of Bitcoin, why can't you buy a sliver of a stock? I mean, what's the difference? You know,
there is no difference. One share you could buy. In the old days, you could still buy one share. I think the conception, the commissions and all that stuff, but now you can trade for free and buy partial shares. But I just wanted to make the distinction of what you were saying, saving up cash along the way, how that works differently than maybe a 401k for us is we do try and time the market with our BMI and with our analysis. So we're not dollar cost averaging and buying little bits every month. We're just stockpiling that cash so that when it is ready, when the market does give us great deals, we're ready to go shopping. We're not worried about the paper value that is vaporizing in a downdraft in the market, because we know we hold the best of the best stocks and we're getting ready to buy more of them when the prices come our way and we have cash built up. And I think, you know, that's an important distinction from someone saving for their 401k that buys a little bit every month, which also works wonders over the year. I highly encourage anybody to save for their retirement. 401k, Roth IRA, traditional IRA, whatever the method may be. Yeah. So what we do to try and take advantage of market dislocations and technical resets, just like when you got a pressure valve that's building up and you got to blow off steam, that's where we are in the market. And it is going to come in. It may be very brief. It may be long until April. My predictions could be way off. One thing or another, one way or another, eventually the market is going to correct. And that, in our opinion, is going to be a great buying opportunity. I think that's the key takeaway.
Definitely. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's very easy to complicate things. And I think the way we do it is it's very easy and it's straightforward. It's, you know, buy whenever the data says it's the right time to buy or a better time to buy based on history. And if you use that framework, I mean, it's kind of like heads you win, tails you win, right? Because if you keep your long portfolio, you know, your personal accounts, you get in an environment like this, I mean, it's fun. You know, it's fun to see the points on the board, you know, they just keep adding up and adding up. And then you also know that eventually, whenever you do get that opportunity, and that's what pullbacks are. It's not times to freak out. It's times to say, wow, what can I invest in? And keeping that long-term mindset, I mean, that's how you win. And if you're listening out there and you say, wow, that's just too complicated, it's too much. I mean, even if you just sit and you do a dollar cost averaging into like a great company, take Amazon, for example, right? Very volatile over the past 20, 30 years. But if that was one you had your eye on, and that's something that you were consistently buying over the years, you would have done relatively well.
Yeah. And I think here's the key component, everybody. You're going to say, hey, the market's overbought. When do I get out of my stocks? How much cash should I have on the sideline? Those are the questions you're going to ask yourself. Great question. But the secret weapon is what Luke and I do at Map Signals, and what we're all about is spending all of our professional time finding the needles in the haystack, finding the best of the best, finding those outliers, those 50 stocks out of 5,000 that we would be willing to hold in our personal accounts through thick and thin, through great financial crisis style markets. We would still hold them
because it's a business. Yeah.
The money is made in the hold, not in the trade. That is how we do it. So there might be many traders out there in and out, and great. You can use our metrics, you can use our indicators, and you can time the market, or you can try. We use it as a gauge for when to buy less and when to buy more, basically, is really how we do it.
Right? No, I mean, it's so true. And, you know, and I don't know that that narrative and that message, you know, that there's a lot of that in the investment world, you know, because there's a lot of trading out there, a lot of whipping around. But, you know, I've just always been excited about, and you too, is let's find the next 10 bagger, the next 15 bagger, or at least put our time into trying to uncover that. And
the juice.
The juice. And then you get, you know, a couple of years stacked on stacked, like what we're seeing. And I mean, it is mind-blowing to see just how high some of these stocks can go. And, you know,
and vice versa, though, when everybody is miserable, it's going to be mind-boggling to see how low they can go, because you brought it up. And this is not a recommendation to buy this company or anything like that. And you'll remember the numbers because you always do. You're so good at that. But you remember like stocks like Wayfair and Overstock, and how in the pandemic they were one step away from worthless. Like
it went, Wayfair was around $20 at the low. And I remember having a conversation with you, another guy, and it was this amazing asymmetric risk profile. Now, we didn't take the risk on it or anything like that, but it was something like, are they really going out of business? And you just saw, I think the stock went to like 300 or something, maybe even more. I don't know.
That's but if vice versa, prior to it going down to 20, it was much it was higher than that. Number.
Yeah, may have been a $200 stock. I mean, it it was on its knees, my man. I mean, we had some of this happen in our personal accounts too, where
of course
you bought it wrong. The thing goes down 75%. You write this thing off, but you know what? You hold it. I'm not suggesting you do, but it was what we decided to do. It's at all-time highs, you know? I mean, don't be surprised at what stock prices can do. And it doesn't mean the company was worth 90% less on one given day. It was all technical, emotional-driven trading.
Worst selling, whatever. But don't forget what we do, how we approach the market, how all we ask the same questions that everybody else asks. What do I do? When do I sell? When do I buy? How do I do the blah, blah, blah. What did we end up realizing? It's a numbers game. We spend our time trying to pick the best of the best. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that's 50 stocks out of 5,500.
50.
All 50 ain't always going to be winners. So we're going to have some losers. But this methodology we have found historically, and we believe in the future it will work this way as well, is maybe 40 out of 50, 35 even. Huge. 70% of our stocks will be winners. And in those winners, we're going to find the monsters. Therefore, it doesn't matter if we're holding a handful of dogs, because we can wait it out, and eventually they may, like I know which one, which turd you're talking about, it may go to all-time highs, and you sit there and you lament it for years. But if you're organizing your strategy, mathematically, statistically speaking, unemotionally, these decisions, these questions, they start to go away, and time melts this stuff away. You find yourself being a more patient person. You can tolerate these big swings much easier because the uncertainty of your outcome is far less uncertain. You know you have an edge to win over time, and therefore it allows you to say, okay, well, market's overbought. Everybody's buying stocks. Everybody's buying ETF. You guys are saying there's a pullback. What do I do? Jason and Luke, just going to sit, we're going to watch, and we got plenty of cash on the sidelines. If it gets out of control, we're going to pick up great deals. And then we'll see you again in 6 to 9 months, you know?
Bada bing, bada boom, bada bam.
Bada boom. All right. Is there anything else we want to cover before we wrap up? This has been, you know, we've been freestyling here for like half an hour.
I think we haven't done a podcast in a month, but you know what? I'm glad we waited a while, right? To kind of like let the narrative play out, look at the data. We've got new indications and all that type of stuff. So I'm glad that we had this chat, but no, I think we covered a lot of ground, my friend.
I just want to say, for the benefit of the people out there who aren't able to see the video because I think we're releasing audio only. You look like you still have a New Year's hangover. Just want to say that.
Listen, you've got a big, you used to have a baby beard, but now you've got a big, lush growth right there.
Like a good for you, man. Nest. Yeah. So anyway, we like to bust on each other all the time. You know, let us know what you think, audio, video, all that stuff. We're still trying to feel all this stuff out. But we love talking about this stuff. Keep questions coming in. And we'll keep giving you the data as we see it. But for right now, that's our outlook. Get your buy list ready. The froth isn't going to last forever. And luck favors the prepared, right?
That is correct. Enjoy the ride. I'm looking at my account right now. All-time highs.
The ATH. And remember, when you're wondering about when to sell your stocks, if you pick the good ones, the outliers, tagu. They all go.
Tagu. I thought it was tag you. Okay,
tagu. 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 I say tagu, yeah. You say tagu. Tagu.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think that's it, folks. It's time to wrap up this show, Jason Bodner.
All right. Why don't you take us out, my man? Give us a song or something.
Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. Remember, don't follow the news. Follow
the big money.
Money. Happy New Year's, guys.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. And please remember, this broadcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Investments can carry substantial risks. Before you make a financial decision, you should first consult your financial advisor.